your place for you to turn today, so you can just enjoy and listen. So yeah, over in the Philippines, I swear to you, it rained every afternoon. You know, somehow there's a cloud and boof, there it is. Am I right? It's about every, does that in Florida too. They just don't tell you that. You know, every afternoon there's thunderstorms in Florida. Didn't you live in Florida? Who's lived there? Does it rain every afternoon in Florida? I think it does. Yeah. So they're used to sitting in the water, Sam. They're used to it and that sort of thing. The one time I got caught, you know, and what are those little things that these people drive around, you know, like a scooter or something, you get in that thing. What is that called? A what?
Tricycle.
You know, it's got a little cabin to it. The one afternoon, I, you know, I'm sitting in Starbucks and I'm looking out there and I'm saying, man, I can't walk back to the house, you know, and this. And I get in one of those little things, you know, to get back there, and you still got wet. So that was an exciting time. I guess I got to go back. You people need to take me. You know, you need to take me over there and we'll have a good time. So I don't know how many Sundays I'm here this summer, you know, two a month or something like that. So however many that is, you know, through August. And I'm not going to do a series. You know, I'm going to do a number of different things. One of them is going to be one of these Sundays down the road here. We're going to talk about Revelation 20. Isn't that going to be good? Yeah, we'll talk about Revelation 20 and some of that stuff and maybe a sermon on the Son of Man and whatever. It's going to be, you know, whatever the Lord brings to mind, but he brings to mind those two things. I know you want to talk about Revelation, right? Yeah, you want to talk about that. It's a lot of fun. I have to keep myself from doing the whole thing, but, you know, we will do that. So today, I thought I'd do just a brief follow-up to 2 weeks ago when I talked about mustard seed faith. I think most of you are here. Mustard seed faith. And so it was about faith, and we talked about living in the invisible. You see, faith is that element that touches a different reality, what I like to call a higher dimension of life. And as we studied 2 weeks ago, faith brings to substance, if you will remember, the things that are invisible. You know, it brings it to substance. And we used the example of Noah, who, I mean, when you think about what he built, where'd he get that? Remember, you know, where'd he get that whole picture, the dimensions, how big the thing was supposed to be, and whatever. I mean, you know, he wasn't one of those people. He wasn't somebody that sailed the seas. In fact, Israelites, they are very fearful of the sea, actually. And so he wasn't one of those people. I mean, in fact, he's not even living close to a sea when you think about it. But God gave him something, and as that he's working on it, that invisible comes to life, right? Very simple. The invisible comes to life. And then, of course, we had a whole series on prayer, and we say faith is that door, is that element that opens the door to prayer and brings us in connection with limitless possibilities, which, you know, I'd like us to always think about the limitless possibilities. So today, I thought I would follow it up with talking a little bit about the Exodus and about Moses, not completely, but just an idea. And I got here today, and as they were having trouble getting the projectors up and that sort of thing, it dawned on me that I forgot to send my slides, you know, on this. And what I was going to show you, that I'm going to try to reproduce the best I can, is a couple slides about this Exodus and somebody that did the math on it. Now, some of the math on the Exodus you find in the book of Numbers. And what I remember from the book of Numbers is that there was a number of men that were numbered who would have been the army. And that was in the neighborhood, if I remember correctly, you can look it up, 605,000 men that were numbered that would be eligible for being their army. Well, somebody started working on it and figured out, well, if there were 605,000 men, how many elderly were there? How many children were there? How many women were there? And I think he's probably pretty close when he says that when we're thinking about this exodus of the people of Israel from Egypt, we're getting close to 3 million people. Now think about that. You know, we try to reproduce this in movies or in our little Bible school classes, you know, for children and whatever. And it never seems to appear that way, right? But when you really figure it out, we're talking about half the city of New York City that's got to move from Egypt and make their way to the Promised Land. Well, then the next slide, and this is where I can't remember the numbers, but I can tell you what they would have had to take with them. They would have had to have food. You know, boxcars of food. I forget how many miles this guy figured of food on a train they would have to have. Boxcars. It was miles upon miles of food they would have to carry with them. And then they would have to have, and it would have been all up there, tanker cars full of water, miles long. Miles upon miles long. They need water. They just can't make this trip without food, without water. And what do they need? They need wood. They got to have some sort of fire to heat this thing up. Plus, they're going to be out in the desert, and the desert's not always warm. They have to have firewood. And I forget the number of this. But then when you think about 3 million people needing to cross the Red Sea, you know, our mind pictures a little, almost like this narrow aisle here for 3 million people to get through, that God parted the waters just a little bit and these people walked through. No way. It had to be wide, very wide, for them to walk abreast of each other to get across this water. And so I thought about that, and you would have seen that and been more amazed than I can make you amazed, except I'm asking you to use your imagination a little bit. Did Moses think about this? Did he give any thought to this? I mean, God calls Moses to lead these people out of Egypt. Did he process what would be involved with this, to make this happen? I mean, when you think about that, it's pretty incredible, isn't it? I mean, it's pretty amazing. I mean, we're talking about people in the Bible that experienced extraordinary things, extraordinary matters in their life. And we read about them, and I wonder, why not us? Why not us? What got them there? That sort of thing. One of my favorite stories is a story I told here. I know I told it here. I've told it maybe only two or three times in all my time in ministry, and I know I told it here. And you won't remember it, but this gives me the opportunity to tell it again. About a man named Larry Walters. How many remember the story of Larry Walters? Good. None of you. That's good. Larry Walters was a 33-year-old truck driver. He was living in L.A., and he was living near the airport, the L.A. airport, and he would sit in his lawn chair, you know, when he had opportunity, and he would just sit there, and he would just look up I mean, sort of like what we would do. I mean, you know, when, regardless of how many times you do it, if you're driving, you know, down the New Jersey Turnpike close to Newark Airport, you're always watching, right? I mean, you just can't help it. You know, you got to, I see it every Sunday that I come, you know, I see these planes landing, taking, it's interesting. Larry Walters sitting in his backyard on his lawn chair, you know, the kind of lawn chair, I don't even know if they make them, it had the straps, you know, the weaving, the straps and that sort of thing, those kinds of lawn chairs, and he's just sitting back there on his lawn chair thinking, you know, he's wanting to fly, he wants to go up, he wants to go up, he just wants to look out over everything, he wants to experience something different in his life. Well, the next part of the story, the newspapers pick up. There's Larry. Larry Walters, he's in his lawn chair. And there are 45 helium balloons tied to his lawn chair. 45. And there he goes up. Not just a little bit. He goes up 11,000 feet right in the corridor of the airplanes coming into the airport in L.A. True story. And when he finally got down, newspapers asked him, why did you do it? And he says, well, you just can't sit there. You just can't. I had a quote from the guy that found that story, and I obviously can't share it with you, but he was, the quote basically had to do with people that have an imagination and look and think about things, you know, and they do it, while the rest of us just sort of sit and do nothing. There are some who sit, and there are some who soar, and what makes the difference? You know the answer. I know you know the answer between those who sit and those who soar. The real simple answer is vision. You see, my Bible says it this way, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Of course, you know that comes from Proverbs. Where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Vision, that is an element that keeps one's life in focus. It's an element that keeps a group of people in focus. It's vision. Those who obtain a vision, those who reach a destiny are people who see something out there before them, and their mind starts processing it, and they nurture it until they do it, until they accomplish it. It's the difference between soaring and living a life of mediocrity, because we read in the scripture, and it's great to read about Moses, and it's great to read about Noah, it's great to read about Daniel, it's great to read about all of these wonderful people in the scripture who experienced extraordinary things in their life. But what we want to know is, how did that all unfold? And what can we learn from their experience? That's all I'm doing today. You know, I don't want to just read about people that lived extraordinary lives. I want to live it, don't you? I want to live it. How did they get there? I don't know that the word vision is the best word to use there, because I think maybe there's a better translation, if you will accept this. What if we substituted the word revelation for the word vision? Where there is no revelation, the people are unrestrained. That puts a little different perspective on it because it really involves something. If it's a revelation, it really involves something God's placed before us, that God puts there for us. He wants us to see something that's a little bit more out there for our life than what we may presently see. And he just sort of paints it for you a little bit. How do you get there? Because there's a lot of people who have a trouble with vision. There's a lot of people in our society, there's a lot of people in churches that have no vision, that they can't see something more than what they're presently living in their life. And so we just live ordinary lives. I'm not saying they're bad lives. I didn't say that. But we leave it for other people, the Larry Walters of the world, to experience something, you know, a little bit different in their life. How do we get there? How is it that maybe we experience something more in our life? Or how is it that a vision might develop for any one of us that would take us a little bit further than what we might think we're capable of doing? That's all I want to talk about for a few moments today. Well, it's really about God did give us a revelation. I call it the map of his reality. Right here it is. It is the map of his reality. It's an extraordinary reality that he presents to us. It really is. It's a higher dimension of living. And it's a map to it. It's a book of life. It's a book of abundant life. It's a book of extraordinary life. It's available for any one of us. It's a map of his reality. Would you agree with that? That's what it is. It's not a history book for us to just enjoy like we might do any book. It's about us living something more in our life. Well, there are two easy essentials for living in this reality. Easy, not hard. Remember we talked about mustard seed faith. How big is that? That's pretty little. It's not extraordinary. A mustard seed faith, Jesus says, would put you in the realm of the impossible. That's what he said. It would put you right there, just that much. So we're not talking about something that is difficult here. But what are two elements of God's map that we need to have, very simply, in order to experience something a little bit more out there for any one of us that could be different for each one of us? Number one, it's the element that God is speaking. I'm sorry to bring it up, but you have a good book in your possession called God is Still Talking, and you ought to refer to it. It's a good book. It is. I couldn't have written it. I don't think it comes from me. That God's still talking. He's still speaking. Got to know that. He does speak through his word. Yes. I mean, you know, there's a map here. There's a way to determine what we're thinking and whether it's on the path. I mean, this keeps it all in balance. You know, it is his map. You know, and we got to be familiar with it. And I would say that after 50 years, I'm pretty familiar with it. If I'm not, something's wrong. I mean, we've had a lot of Bible studies. We ought to be pretty familiar with it. And if we're familiar with this, God's able to awaken us to new things. Think about those two guys on the road to Damascus after Jesus' resurrection, and Jesus shows up, and they were kept from recognizing him. Yet, you know, on the way, he was asking them about things that had happened in Jerusalem and what was going on, and he was talking to them about scriptural things, and Jesus was just going to go on his way, and they urged him to stay with them. And he stays, and he blesses the dinner. And he blesses it in such a way that they wake up to, what is this? And with that, they recognize him. And then he vanishes. I think I said something about the vanish one time. You see, they were able to be awakened to something greater because they had the base of, they had experienced somebody, you know, blessing the bread and the cup in a certain manner. And they were familiar with that. And it opened the door to them seeing something greater. You understand what I'm saying here? This here is only, it's available for us to open the door a little bit more, for us to recognize God doing some more things in our life, that God is speaking. And in that book, I say he speaks through other people. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through the nonsense of our news. He speaks to us through prayer. There's a lot of ways that God speaks to us. You know that God speaks to us through his Holy Spirit? And you know that God speaks to us at night? If I would only pay attention more, and maybe you would too, because, you know, the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord who counsels me. In the night also, he instructs my heart. I still don't have a pad beside my bed to just wake up when God is speaking and write it down. And then you struggle in the morning to try to figure out what that was all about. How much am I missing? I'm telling you, God is speaking. And we can recognize it. And he would speak to us about some things that are either before us, or he wants us to envision, or whatever the case may be. You want to see a greater vision? Understand that God is speaking, and recognize those times that he's doing it. But the second one, it's a little bit even easier than that. It's really God's plan lived out. You see, this is God's plan. And it's not hard for us to get on the path of something greater in our life, something extraordinary. Jesus says, I brought glory to you, speaking to his Father, I brought glory to you by completing the work that you called me to do. Paul says, I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. God set before them a plan, and they just got about the business of doing it. That's pretty simple. I mean, God set forth some things for us to do, and all we got to do is get about the business of doing it. So much of the time, it is not a matter of not having a vision or a revelation. It's more about living out what God has given. You know, it's like not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Whoever hears my words and does them is like a man who built his house on a rock. He who hears and does. Who is my mother and my brother? My mother and my brothers and sisters are those who do the will of God. And you're studying Hebrews. In Hebrews, I'm sure you passed this because the last time I was here, yeah, you passed us. But solid food is for the mature, for those, well, I almost didn't say it right. Listen, solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Who have the powers of their discernment trained by constant practice. You know, to get on the path of extraordinary things, it's not a matter of trying to drum up a vision. It's not a matter of, you know, what is it? It's a matter of let's do what we know to do. It's very simple. It's mustard seed faith of just doing what God's called us to do, and he starts putting us on a path that maybe we would have never walked before. Brothers and sisters, I thought about it this week. I cannot believe I've been a minister of the gospel. I can't believe it. I thought about it this week. I can't believe it. I was a computer programmer, believe it or not, Sam. I knew how to program these things. I couldn't do it now. I was a computer programmer when I got out of high school. I had a great job. I loved it. I didn't even have to go to college. I walked out of high school with a job, computer programming, because the colleges weren't any more advanced than what I knew. How in the world did I get to Johnson Bible College? That's what my family was asking. What are you doing? I didn't know what I was doing. I had been more than a year out of school with a wonderful job. Then some minister that I brought here years and years ago, Ron Bushak, this is before the Filipinos were here, you know, was a guy at a church camp that says, you really ought to go to Bible college. And, well, I'm not thinking about Bible college. And then he talked to my pastor, Steve Evereaux, says, you ought to take him down to Johnson Bible College. Well, what am I doing in the car going to Johnson Bible College? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know why I'm in this car. And I end up going there. My family couldn't understand it. My employer couldn't understand it. You know, nobody could understand it. I couldn't tell you how I understood it. I'm serious. But I have two people, you know, calling me that direction and whatever. And as I look over my life, I say, I'm not Noah or Moses that you would say this guy's done extraordinary things. You would never say that. But when I look at my life, I say, man, I am amazed where I am. I'm amazed at my family. I'm amazed at the people that I care about. I'd never know you folks. I'm amazed that I wrote a book and I'm writing another book. That I didn't even think about writing this book. It never occurred to me that I would write a book. Heaven on Earth, Life Now and Hereafter. It would never occur to me to write that book. If I wouldn't have listened and followed whatever God was trying to do, I'd still be living in Altoona, Pennsylvania. I'd look like some hick. And whatever, and I would have no idea what life is like in the rest of the world. I'm telling you the truth. Just go to Altoona, Pennsylvania. I have family that's lived there all their life. My goodness gracious. You know, if you just follow what God's calling you to do, little by little by little, just interesting things emerge that you could have never predicted or experienced in your life. Never. I never knew heads or tails of New York. So Tom Hart brought me over to meet Charles Faust of the Goye Chapel Mission. And he says, well, I want you to be a minister at the church at East Northport that had 18 people. I could care. You could have had five. I would have never experienced New York. Now, at the moment, I never want to move back here. It's crazy in there. It's done. Do you think Moses thought about all of that stuff before he left? No. Can't we just simply see that Moses believed God and that God would have to come up with all the details? All he had to do was follow. All he had to do was do what I tell you to do. That's it. God's got to come up with the rest, right? He's got to make the rest happen, and Moses just did it. We have the same God. He's exciting. He's always fresh. He's always doing something surprising. We have a God that you cannot put in a box. If we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, which is simply hearing God and doing it, it's obeying. If we just have that much, you have no idea what God's going to develop in your life. You have no idea. Oh, by the way, I would have never got to the Philippines. That's extraordinary. I loved it. Yeah. I loved it. It was great. You know, all sorts of interesting things there. You know, their traffic's worse in New York. Folks, it's simple. All we need to do is get about the business of doing God's word in the little things that he calls us to do and allow him to bring about the big picture in our life, whatever that is. It's that simple. Do you agree? Lord, bless your mind and heart. I don't know what's next, but hopefully this helps.